If you have your Bibles, make your way to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're coming to the end of Jesus' sermon, which many have called the Sermon on the Mount. It started back in chapter 5, and now we're coming to the end of his sermon in chapter 7. And the verses this morning are found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Lots to underline and circle this morning. Jesus said in his sermon, he said, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Every day is made up of choices and decisions that each of us have to make. Some call these decisions or choices crossroads moments, fork in the road. Go this way, go that way. Which do I choose? Now, some of those decisions are easy. Do I go to McDonald's or do I go to Arby's? That should be easy. Arby's. As my whole family shakes their head. Some get harder. Which school to go to, which to choose, what job to take, what job to decline. To buy this car or that car, and if I buy that car and it breaks down, it'll be at John Fulmer's every other week. What home should I buy? But there is a choice we are given that is the weightiest of them all. It's the eternal life decision. And it is a choice. These eternal choices are throughout your reading of God's word. In Joshua 24, Joshua is commanding the Israelites on their way into Canaan. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river of Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land of Judah. But as for me," Joshua says, "and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choices. Elijah in 1 Kings, again, those stubborn and pesky Israelites, as well as the pagan people that surrounded. Ahab sent all his people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Some were serving these prophets of Baal. But Elijah, the prophet, was pointing them back to Jesus, pointing them back to God. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions, choices? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. And then we find in our New Testament, even the disciples, and we see Peter in John chapter 6, these decisions as Jesus was proclaiming the kingdom of God was at hand. And after Jesus had declared that they must follow him, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walk with him. And so Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Choices. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. The Sermon on the Mount, which started back in Matthew chapter 5, coming to the conclusion in chapter 7, the greatest sermon ever given, encouraging the follower of Jesus to live for the kingdom of God and live that mindset on this earth until he calls you home. Showing people that don't believe the peace and the joy that comes not from our circumstances, but by our faith in Jesus Christ who died for our sins. This is a heart-to-heart. Jesus, the Savior, is asking us to consider these words. And then at the end of this chapter, he turns it evangelistic. Because see, God knows whether those that are listening who say they follow Jesus really do believe in him. By the way, this is a great reason why at any time during a church service or on a Sunday morning that we should preach the gospel for salvation. Because only God knows who truly knows him this morning. And so Jesus gives us that example even this morning in his sermon. John MacArthur, a pastor and theologian, said this about the Sermon on the Mount. Hell will be filled with people who admired the Sermon on the Mount but did not heed the warning in it. And that's what we talk about this morning. There's a warning. Those that are listening to Jesus, that are relying on their selves, their good works, to get them into heaven, will admire the words of the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings of Jesus, but they will do no good for them in hell. We have eternal choices that we all have to make. So what eternal choices do we have to make? What does the verse tell us? Well, there are two eternal destinations. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The first of these choices, go back real quick. The first of these choices is between a narrow gate and a wide gate. Now go to those verses real quick. That's the choice. A narrow gate or a wide gate. Many people say, there are many different paths to heaven. Jesus says in his sermon, there is only one. There's only one gate to life. There aren't many gates. There's only one way to life. Not many ways. It's singular. The word gate is not plural. The first gate that Jesus describes is the wide gate and easy path that leads to destruction. Look at our verses again. For this gate is a wide way and easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The word translated there, destruction, That's the path that that person is on, is described as a path of ruin. It's a path of destruction, hence the word used here, and the word annihilation. It's an eternal separation forever. Jesus speaks here of an eternal destiny for those who choose this gate, this path. It's a destiny that Jesus describes throughout the scriptures, but more specifically in very horrifying terms in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9. He says, this place is where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. No one spoke more in the Bible of hell than Jesus. He lets us know that there is a gate, one that is chosen by people to pass through. And this way is chosen by many. And will ultimately lead to an eternity away from God. This eternal choice for hell is wide and it is easy. What does that mean? In the context of this sermon, Jesus has been explaining to those that truly trust in him, have truly put their faith and trust in him for eternal life. What he says is that kind of life is not easy. In a world that hates Jesus, you will be hated. People that genuinely put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ know that he's the only way. People in this world want to think that there are many ways. What about the child in the rainforest that never hears about Jesus? What about that person or that person? You mean to tell me if I believe in God and I'm a really good person that I could go to hell? Jesus says this, not me. When Jesus says the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, well, how easy is it? It's an easy path because you didn't lose anything. Your decision was not to trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sin. Your decision was to add Jesus to your life like fire insurance. Your decision was comfortable. You don't have to tell anybody what Jesus did for you. You could keep it private. You don't have to tell other people about Jesus being the only way. Everyone who passes through this wide gate and easy path is comfortable. There's no pressure. There's no sacrifice. And Jesus says many people will go through this gate and this path. I mean, this path gets you the world. And a Jesus, not of the Bible, but a Jesus of your own making. Not a Jesus that tells us about our sin and our need for forgiveness. A Jesus that will let you into heaven because you lived a good life on earth. I mean, God wouldn't send people to hell, would he? This is an important thing I'm going to say. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves by the choices we make. Jesus, in God's word says this in John chapter 3. It's a famous passage. Most people, even before God opened my eyes to the truth of the word of God, I would see it on signs in neon at sporting events that I would go to. I'd be like, what's John 3:16 mean, weirdos? What's 3:16? I didn't understand. But listen to what Jesus says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him, choice, should not perish but have eternal life. Now catch this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. God does not send anyone to hell. We choose to go there. And for 26 years, that's exactly where I was going. This wide gate and easy path, it's a popular gate. No one makes fun of you there. Calls you a Jesus freak. It's decorated nicely and appeals to all of our fleshly passions. Paul gives us an idea of this easy path and this wide gate in speaking with religious people. You know, the people that should know. But that's often the people that Jesus reached out to, is people who think they know. Look at Romans chapter 10 with me. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, is that the unbelievers, is that they might be saved, rescued. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. In other words, they pray all the time. They might even give money to the church. Doing lots of good things for the church. For I bear witness they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and choosing, see, choice, to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Stay on that passage. Here's why this is important. What God is saying, what Jesus is saying, what the Word of God is saying through Paul, is that there is a choice. And some people that choose this wide, easy path, choose to think that they're going to heaven because they're good. And what Jesus is saying is, nobody's perfect. And you need perfection to get to heaven. And Jesus is offering you his perfection through the forgiveness of your sins. And you are telling God, no, I'm good. I don't need your perfection. I got my own. Paul's already explained the faulty thinking of this throughout Romans. But let me just give you a little more reminder of what Paul is speaking about. Because it's an important understanding, especially when you're religious. And you got these religious activities and religious things that you might be hanging on to get to heaven. Paul writes in Romans, he says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. What is he saying? He's saying God gave us the Ten Commandments, not so that you can keep a list of 10 commandments to get to heaven. He gave you the 10 commandments to show you you can't keep the 10 commandments and you need Jesus. That's called grace. We would have never known how much we needed Jesus until he gave us the law to show us we couldn't keep it. And the whole world may be accountable to God. In other words, God gave us the laws so that we'd realize we couldn't keep the laws and we'd be seeking for someone to keep the law for us. Hence Jesus. Look at verse 20. For by the works of the law, no human being will be declared innocent. That's what the word justified means. It's a legal term in his sight. Since through the law, think 10 commandments, comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been made clear, manifest. It's apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. In other words, they keep pointing us to a need for a Savior. And here's the glorious gospel, the great news. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Young and old, black and white, it doesn't matter. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you need his righteousness, not your own, God will save you. This is good news. For the wide, easy gate to eternal separation, hell, is chosen by many because they want to earn their salvation. Look, God, look how good I am. I'm not like those bad people who sin. This mentality is masked by religion. And it is hellbound. The path leads to destruction. And listen to me, as I finish this first point, we really only have one point, but it's with two little caveats. Jesus is making it very clear. If you think you are going to heaven by your religious deeds, I'm going to heaven because I was baptized. I'm going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven because I believe in God. And yes, that could even lead you to hell. Listen to what James says. You believe in God? Great. Even the demons believe in him and shudder. It's not good enough. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins. That's humbling. Jesus is saying this. Not Pastor Greg. Jesus is saying you have to make a choice. Well, I'm asking too, but Jesus does it much better. What eternal choice do we have? Wide gate and easy path? Or narrow gate and hard path? The gate is narrow, the verse says, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This gate is a key word throughout all of Scripture. It can actually be translated the door. And we have seen elsewhere, haven't we, how Jesus describes himself as the door. Back in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. At the end of, after his resurrection, to his disciple Thomas, he said this. Actually, it was right before he would take our sins on the cross. Hours before he would go to the cross, he said this: I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. through trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of our sin is the access to eternal life. The Apostle John said it this way in 1 John. He said this, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this is the life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." The gate is narrow. Look at the verses. I can almost hear someone complaining. The idea that Jesus is the only way, that's so narrow. And that's true. Jesus, the Son of God, was sent from heaven. He's letting us know that the way of life, eternal life, is very narrow. So narrow, catch this, that only one person can go through at a time. It's not you and your parents coming with you. It's not you and your friends. This is your choice. Young people, what are you waiting for? Your parents' faith? Till you're older? We're talking about eternal life. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Older people. Gal, am I in that? I'm 50. Am I older people? Older than me people. What are you waiting for? By the grace of God, you're still breathing air. And you're still relying on your good deeds? God have mercy. He's telling you, you have a choice. Humble yourself and put your faith and trust in Him alone. It's so narrow that it's only you that is going to stand before God. Will you trust Him? Young people, don't wait till you're older. Oh, but I'm waiting till I retire. Let me have some fun right now. I thought God would let me in if I went to church. If I gave money. Choosing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is humbling in a hard way. Look at our verses again. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Why is it so hard? Because everything in our sin nature wants to justify ourselves. Explain away the guilt and the shame of my sin. Instead of admitting and repenting, we play victim. We compare ourselves with others. Not as bad as them. I'm not Charles Manson, not Adolf Hitler. It's hard to admit I need help. And only Jesus can help me. Not my religion, not my church attendance. Only Jesus can help me. That's hard. It's hard to follow Jesus. Because he shows me daily how much I'm dependent on him. And this is where discipleship begins, by the way. And that's what this sermon is all about. Jesus explaining how hard it's going to be in the world we live in to live a kingdom-minded life. By the way, Paul says this hard, sanctified life as a follower of Christ. He said this. He says, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. That's hard. Every day he's molding me and shaping me to look more like him and less like me. The way of Jesus for a follower of Christ is hard. And Jesus said this again in Luke chapter 9. He says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That sounds hard. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But the whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So what's the conclusion? Jesus says at the end of his sermons, we have an eternal choice to make. We have two eternal destinations. Jesus calls us to choose. So what's the application? Well, it's easy. Which did you choose? If you have questions, that's what our Bible is for. Don't take my word for it. Take Jesus's. But if you have questions, let's talk. Like someone did for me. Showing me my heart's desire was filled with a purpose of knowing the God who created me. And on November 2nd, 2001, I got on my knees in the middle of my living room floor on 2914 Southwest Coves in Ankeny, Iowa, on a Friday night. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I was raised in the church. I was taught about Jesus, but I didn't know him. I had never humbled myself and acknowledged I needed to be forgiven of all of my sins, my past, my present, and my future sins. And I put my faith and trust in him. What choice have you made? If you have chosen Jesus like me, we are saved by grace through faith. By the way, this is what the disciples taught and preached. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. Heaven's not a place where we're telling everyone what we did. We are in heaven telling everything what Jesus did. And in Galatians chapter 2, yet we know that a person is not justified by the Ten Commandments, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. And if you're thinking, man, okay, well, that's not Jesus saying it. Well, in John chapter 6, on the account, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent. Have you given testimony of this? Have you shared it publicly? This is where baptism comes in. It's for those who have been saved, publicly declaring what Jesus has done for them. I can never truly understand someone who genuinely says they believe in Jesus Christ but doesn't want to get baptized. Now, again, I'm not the judge of salvation, but a definite fruit is typically someone who says they believe that Jesus died for their sins, that they want to tell people about it. When it comes to salvation, eternal life, going to heaven someday, this is good news. Do you have the Son today? If you're wondering how you might receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins today, Paul gives us a little bit of an idea of what we are to say within our hearts. And maybe this is you this morning. And I would say you look at these verses in Romans chapter 10. And I want you to say, is this my heart today? Because God already knows. Not me. God knows. But listen to what he says. He says, if you confess verbally, tell somebody. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means he is God. He is in control. He is your everything. And you believe, the word actually can be translated, have trust or reliance in. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, by the way, that's important because if Jesus is still dead, then there is no victory. But because Jesus rose from the dead, he declares for all of us who know him that there is both victory for over our sin and Satan and death. Kind of a big deal there. For with one's heart one believes and is justified, declared innocent. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The word can be translated rescued. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ is not a private faith. It must be shared. If you do believe this, tell someone. Tell them how you have been saved from your sins and that you too have eternal life. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, it's for your words in your sermon that you make the choice very, very clear. Jesus, you don't send anybody to hell. We choose to go there. Lord, thank you for opening my eyes to the truth. God, I pray for those that are here that might not understand that you would give them the eyes and the ears to hear your message, that they might process through it, ask questions, seek the truth, so that they might have eternal life. And God, for those of us that do know you, may we never take for granted the powerful truth of the gospel, and that we might share it with as many people as we come in contact. With grace, with love, but without a doubt, with an urgency. God, thank you. May you get all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, let's stand and sing a final song.